Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Wake up to Golic and Wingo in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the sports bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Covers the NFL draft for CBSSports.com, fresh from Indianapolis in the NFL scouting combine. Chris Trapasso joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Chris, I wanted to start off with this trade that was just announced this afternoon between the Broncos and the Jaguars, sending A.J. Boye to Denver for a fourth-round pick. And the reason why I bring it up is Denver was one of the teams I think that was in the market for a cornerback in the draft. Now, with that being said and them getting Boye, does that mean that the Bills maybe have a better pathway to a corner that they may covet at 22?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's Jeffrey Okuda at the top of this draft class from Ohio State at the cornerback spot. But after that, I think there's a cluster of about five to maybe even eight cornerbacks that will be all over, you know, different teams' boards in terms of being the number two, three, four, five cornerback. And I think it probably puts the chances of the Bills getting a wide receiver at 22 probably like lowers those chances a little bit. But if someone like Christian Fulton from LSU, AJ Terrell from Clemson, there's just so many of in that second tier that are really good. The chances that those players fall to the Bills definitely just went up after this trade went down.
What am I missing here on this trade here? Because for a fourth-round pick, Boye, or has his skills slipped, or is it the fact that he's not under contract long-term here? Why just a fourth-round pick that Jacksonville, that's all they could get out of this?
Probably a mix of what you just said. I mean, he is getting close to 29, too, so that's getting up there a little bit at the cornerback position. He didn't play as well in 2019 as he did in his first 2 years in Jacksonville and previously with the Texans. And it's just kind of a stark reminder that when you're looking at a veteran's contract, and especially, like you said, if he's not under contract for many years, that these guys don't go for first and second rounders, that you can get good players for mid to late round picks that are on second deals in the NFL.
So what route do you think the Buffalo Bills go there in terms of their cornerback position? We all kind of know Trey is going to get his when he gets his. It could be as soon as this offseason. They might wait another year. I don't know if they would do that or not. But what route, what path do you think the Buffalo Bills take in terms of addressing that opposite corner of the corner opposite Trey White?
Yeah, well, I think they could really look into re-signing Kevin Johnson. He was kind of a liability in that playoff game against the Texans, but he was on a prove-it deal last year. I'm not going to say that he exceeded expectations, but he definitely didn't disappoint as a former first-round pick that, you know, had a lot of injuries in Houston before coming to Buffalo, played relatively well. I think they'll look to do that, and if they don't re-sign him, someone along the lines of a player of Kevin Johnson's caliber, lower level. And then I think in the draft, I mean, like I just said, I think second or third round, if not in the first round, I think cornerback will be addressed. There are guys that I have a ton on my second and third round in that range that I think can be good players that likely won't be early picks that the Bills could plug into that number two cornerback spot and let them battle with Levi Wallace in training camp and in the preseason for that number two spot.
Chris Trapasso from CBSSports.com, our guest here, as coming out of Indianapolis, there were some receivers that impressed, certainly. Chris, how many receivers do you see going in the first round potentially here?
I think we could see five or six. But in general, when you're tying in this receiver group to the NFL Combine, it was kind of underwhelming. I mean, there was so much buzz about Henry Ruggs, and I mean, he ran 4.27, which was weird seeing it the day after that people were like disappointed that he didn't break John Ross's record. 4.27 is still really moving. He had a 42-inch vertical over an 11-foot broad jump, so he was super explosive. But like the rest of the guys, like Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb, did not test particularly well. I mean, Jerry Jeudy ran 4.45. Both of his jumps were not very good, in the 40th percentile at the receiver spot. Had a really bad short shuttle. CeeDee Lamb ran 4.50. So I still think that what these players, you know, Jeudy and Lamb, Jalen Reagor ran a little slower, had a bad three cone. What they were able to do on film in college will still, you know, push them into the first round. But we may not see, you know, three or four or five guys going in the top half of the first round, which probably should be music to the ears of the Bills, that they could be sitting there maybe getting the third or the fourth receiver off the board at number 22 overall.
He's Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, covering the NFL draft, representing the 585, and joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Chris, if there's one player out of that wide receiver group, it is a deep class, the one guy that I think Buffalo Bills fans are starting to sink their teeth into because they see what the Bills probably look at is value, and he did himself some favors. Tell me about Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame.
Well, he is interesting because we've heard so much about that on defense, a lot of players are becoming positionless, that Isaiah Simmons is the headliner in this class. Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Is he a slot corner? He can do everything. Chase Claypool could really be one of the first players on the offensive side that is really positionless, and teams use him kind of like a tight end, but they know that they'd be getting receiver type abilities. He played receiver at Notre Dame, was on the outside most of his snaps, bulked up to around 240 pounds. That's like Dawson Knox size. So the fact that he bulked up and he was still able to run in the low 4.4s, have a 40-inch vertical, was really impressive for him. I didn't see that kind of explosiveness or speed on film, but I will say this. He definitely plays to his size at 6'4". He's not someone that has a lot of wiggle, but he's very physical against press coverage and in those jump ball situations. So I think the team picking him is going to move him all around the formation, in the slot, on the outside, could maybe even ask him to block a little bit because he's bigger. I think he's pushed himself into the second or the third round. And as a Senior Bowl guy, which the Bills have really liked those Senior Bowl players over the past couple years, I think he could definitely be on the radar if the Bills don't go receiver in the first round.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports draft expert, our guest here in the sports bar. Every year we have one quarterback that, okay, he's good, and all of a sudden, no, he's better first round. Are we talking about Jordan Love, a top 10 prospect here, Chris? I mean, what are your thoughts on the quarterback from Utah State?
Yeah, I think we really could be. I mean, when you factor in positional value, that's why we see so many of these quarterbacks go earlier than probably their film indicates. And I think with Jordan Love, you like the athleticism. You like that he's really aggressive, and, you know, he'll make some bad throws, bad decisions, but then he'll fit the football through extremely tight windows on the run with a defender bearing down on him. He's like, he and Justin Herbert to me are kind of polar opposites, despite them both being bigger athletic quarterbacks with strong arms, in that if you draft Jordan Love, you have to try to tell him to rein in his aggressiveness a little bit. With Justin Herbert, you have to kind of coax him into making those tight window throws and ripping the ball, you know, between two defenders on a third and long instead of checking it down. So it depends on what your offensive coordinator or your head coach wants as his philosophy. But every year, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, there's always one that rises from probably a second or a third round pick into round one. And I think this year, that's Jordan Love from Utah State.
Chris, I want to get into some of the content that you've been putting out there over the last couple of days at CBSSports.com that our audience can check out. You've got all your notes from the combine. I'm curious as to which sleepers had impressive combines that helped their stock over the course of last week.
Well, I'll start with A.J. Dillon from Boston College, because he's someone that I think would make sense for the Bills later in the draft if they want that bigger power running back complement to Devin Singletary. 6 foot and 247 pounds. I mean, that's like fullback size. He ran 4.53, which at that size is outstanding. Had the highest vertical of any running back, 41 inches, longest broad jump, and had a pretty good three cone, like just over 7 seconds. So we're talking about, and it's funny, there's a site that compares, called Mock Draftable, that compares prospects from different combines based on their size and their performances. His top comparable is Ricky Williams. So that kind of shows you the type of power back he is that also has explosiveness. And one other guy on the other side of the ball, Michael Ojemudia from Iowa. He's a big outside zone cornerback. The Bills have, you know, loved what they've gotten from Micah Hyde, who also went to Iowa. A lot of those players, they're really good in zone. They're savvy. They have good instincts. They might not be the best athletes, but Ojemudia actually tested very well, ran under 4.5, had a good three cone under 7 seconds, pretty good broad jump, pretty good vertical. And really, in college, he wasn't thrown at very often. So to me, that makes me think that he was really in the hip pocket of a lot of these receivers. And if, I mean, we don't know what order the Bills are going to go in with their draft picks, obviously, in terms of position. Second or third round, I think he is not going to be for every team because he's not fantastic in man-to-man, but he makes plays in zone. And the Bills are one of the zone-heaviest teams in the league. But after the combine, I think he's moved up boards because he had a better workout than a lot of people expected.
What about guys that maybe didn't help themselves? And I know if the Buffalo Bills, anybody could use an edge rusher, and especially at 22, but the edge rusher from Iowa, A.J. Epineza, did he have a bad combine, Chris?
Yes and no. I mean, if you're looking at him strictly as an edge rusher, then he did. I mean, he was 6'4", 275, so that's like gigantic for the position. But he ran the 40 in over 5 seconds. His three cone time was not very good, so that indicates that he's not really bendy around the corner. Any of his jumps, the broad jump, vertical, were not very good if you're strictly thinking of him as he's going to be an every down edge rusher. But at 6'4 and 275, any team that picks him needs to utilize him at defensive tackle. And I think if the Bills do let Jordan Phillips hit free agency and he signs elsewhere, and they kind of wanted to double dip and really get a versatile player, I think Epineza would still make sense at number 22 overall. He'll probably be there now because I think teams will push him down a little bit because he didn't have this ultra, you know, explosive, twitchy combine. But he's someone that plays with a lot of power, has length. And if you're looking at his combine and calling him a defensive tackle, it was outstanding. But I think the edge rusher spot is still more of a premium position, so people will look at it from that perspective, push him down. He's really in play for the Bills at number 22 overall.
Chris, let's get your thoughts on just a couple of other pre-draft things that are happening. Anyways, we call it the season of lying. Do you really believe that Washington has an interest in Tua Tagovailoa, or are they just trying to make teams like Miami believe that they have an interest in Tua Tagovailoa?
I don't think they do at this point. I mean, I think that they should consider it. We just saw it, obviously, with Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray, back-to-back first-round picks. But it really behooves Washington to make it seem as though they are ready to pick Tua Tagovailoa, because this is a team that has a ton of need. Do I think Dwayne Haskins is bound to be a superstar? No, I wasn't super high on him. But I'm still of the belief that you need to give a first-round quarterback at least 2 years to see what you have with him. I mean, there's been so many cases where rookies have looked not ready to be a franchise guy in year one and taken a step in year two. I think Josh Allen is a prime example of that. But by showing, obviously, that they are, you know, dead set on Tua Tagovailoa, and I think that'll ramp up over the next couple of weeks, they could get a gigantic haul, because a team trading up is picking a quarterback, a very heralded quarterback, and the Redskins could say, hey, we're also passing on the opportunity to pick Chase Young. And this is a team that has tons of need, offensive line, receiver, the entire defense could be rebuilt beyond the defensive line. So that's what I think more so Ron Rivera and this new regime in Washington is doing, more so than them just telling everyone who they want to pick at number two overall.
Follow me on this, Chris. Is the distance between Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen greater than Tagovailoa to Haskins?
That's a great question. I think it's pretty close. I mean, a lot of people were wrong on Josh Rosen, including myself. I mean, if you look back at old draft boards, like, I don't remember anyone that had him like lower than the number three, maybe the number four quarterback in that class. But I think and Haskins and Rosen are similar in that from clean pockets, they look the part. They're accurate to the short and intermediate levels, pretty good getting through their reads. But when things break down, that's when they get into a lot of trouble. And I've always said that that's what separates the good quarterbacks from the great ones and then the elite ones, how well they can move inside the pocket. And now we're seeing, you know, guys improvising, throwing on the run, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson. Neither of those two quarterbacks can really do that. But I think there's, with Tua Tagovailoa, you have a more advanced quarterback prospects than you had with Kyler Murray. That Kyler Murray is a perfect fit with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. And there are some injury concerns with Tua, but he is more ready to be an NFL passer from day one than Kyler Murray was. So, yeah, I think probably a little bit bigger of a gap between Haskins and Tua. But there's, you know, it's a just interesting that we had this unprecedented situation just a year ago, and we could see it again.
Chris, it's not necessarily draft related, but as we were talking about earlier with the Broncos acquisition of A.J. Bouye from Jacksonville, it does have a ripple effect on what could happen in the draft. And the biggest domino for this offseason is, where does Tom Brady play in 2020? I'm curious as to what camp you're on.
For the longest time, I don't know. I just could not see him playing for another team besides the Patriots. But it really seems like things went south with Tom Brady and that organization last year, with the video of him, you know, telling his receivers to be more explosive and everything that happened with Antonio Brown. And they bring in Mohamed Sanu at the trade deadline, who's not really explosive, when Emmanuel Sanders would have been a better fit. And he goes to San Francisco. He's taking a hometown discount. I still think that going to the LA Chargers makes the most sense. If he's really thinking ahead to the future for the TB12 brand and being in LA like LeBron kind of did, I think that would make sense. It's a good team that they have a lot of pieces on defense. They could really spend on the offensive line and, you know, certainly address the offensive line in the draft. That makes the most sense to me. But I know, like, the Raiders are out there. The Titans are out there. I think at this point, Brady still wants to win, of course. He's the ultimate competitor, but is looking more, you know, beyond his NFL career. And I think the Los Angeles Chargers would make a lot of sense.
If he's the first domino to fall, Chris, and let's push aside here the draft, because you could certainly say it's worth a, you know, Burrow or whoever, Jordan Love. Who would be the second choice if you're an NFL GM? Is it Cam Newton? Is it Jameis Winston? Maybe it's Phillip Rivers. It wouldn't be Phillip Rivers for me. Is it somebody else? Who would be that next guy up, in your opinion, that should be the next quarterback to move?
Probably Jameis Winston, because I think, I mean, obviously he had just a ridiculous season with 33 touchdowns and 30 picks last year. But I think there's a really a case to be made that, you know, what he adds to an offense in terms of making these incredible throws and throwing a lot of touchdowns. Yes, you can say it's counteracted by the interceptions too, but it's very hard to even find those big time throws in a quarterback. I think Phillip Rivers was a few years younger. He would be the obvious choice. And if you're a team that has a really good offensive line, I would maybe go Phillip Rivers. But just as a blanket statement, just across the league, I think given his age, Jameis Winston came into the league at 21 years old. And what he's shown in terms of just being a high-volume passer that can get you into shootouts, that can score you 34 points, may hurt you a little bit too. I think he would be the guy that, if I had to look at a long-term option, he would be the guy for me.
Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com. Lots of great content for you to check out. And correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but it looks like you're posting stuff up almost every day, a daily basis here at CBSSports.com.
Yeah, I mean, this is draft season, so that's, it's definitely busy time for me, which I love. I have small school sleepers on Thursday, a mock draft tomorrow. Every Wednesday, I have a mock draft. I've done like 1,000 of them since the start of the season. And then I have on Friday, look for the piece on Friday about, and we kind of touched on it, the prospects at the combine that raised some red flags. Some bigger names didn't have great workouts, and I think they're still going to get picked early, but maybe we should just kind of take a second look at them And they're maybe not first half of round one type picks.
Chris, give me some of your favorite draft season cliches. Are you an intangibles quarterback guy? Are you more about the guy with the cannon arm, the sneaky athletic, the dog chasing cars? Give me some of your favorites.
I really like sneaky athletic. I think that's hilarious. And as we know, that's usually, you know, for white wide receivers or white quarterbacks that are tall. I really like the gym rat or the, you know, coach's son, like that these players that apparently those are the players that try harder than others. I don't really understand that. There's so many out there though. The last one is that any big receiver automatically gets a bad route runner like label instantly. The small guys are great route runners, and there's, for a lot of analysts, there's like no such thing as a good route runner who's above like 6'2". I don't necessarily agree with that, but notice over the next couple months when you're hearing about T. Higgins, when you're hearing about some of the bigger receivers in this class, oh, not a great route runner. And that's, I don't know why that's a thing, but that's like always a label that bigger wide receivers get. And I don't think it's true.
Is it, can we say when we hear somebody's motor is great, that means, yeah, maybe their talent isn't so great that we're going on a reach here to say something nice?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's, that like we can like kind of laugh about all these because they are funny, but you can also take stuff from that. That if I'm writing up a scouting report and like one of the first things I write is like, high motor, I'm like, oh yeah, like he's not really there athletically. And there's a lot of guys, especially on the edge in this draft class, that have really good motors. They're high energy players, but they just don't have the twitch. Mm. They don't have the explosiveness. So you can usually take something. It's usually like the opposite is true. But yeah, if you're writing like great motor or high energy, that usually means that that player doesn't have, you know, quite the NFL standard of athleticism.
He's always someone that passes the eye test here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. The great Chris Trapasso joining us.
He looks good on the hoof.
Absolutely. Chris, great talking to you as always. Let's catch up again here before the draft, obviously. Have a good one, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, we lost him. All right, yeah. Chris Trapasso joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Hope I didn't insult him by mentioning all these different cliches that are out there. I mean, there's so many of them. And I know he's doing his best to kind of avoid the guys that pass the eye test or the guys with functional strength, space eaters. There's so many of them.
He brings up a good point, though. Like, the tall guy can't run routes. Sneaky athletic. Yeah, that describes the white quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the knock on Chase Claypool is, you know, not a great route runner. That's what hurts him.
Yeah, says who?
Guy could be a first-round draft pick based on what he did in the scouting combine. I'd be all right with that guy wearing a Buffalo Bills uniform.
Well, do you think he'll be there round two? He's getting so much run. Somebody who was projected round three. Would Brandon Bean have the stones to sit there at round two and not trade up? Nobody wants to trade up. You want to sit there, right?
Yeah.
If not trade down and still get your guy. I don't know if Brandon Bean has the stones, if that's the guy they're targeting to wait until round two.
News and notes from around the NFL on the way next. It's NFL Appetizer. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place. Batavia, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, a lot to get to here in NFL apps. We've got news from the Bengals, of course, a Tom Brady update. A former Buffalo Bill calling it quits. Somebody we knew out at camp, not going to be back this year. News from the Chargers, and what's going on with Monday Night Football?
Mm. Sergio Dip to the sideline, please. NFL Appetizers next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.